the transgenders, and our president has declared they should not be serving in the military, and uproar comes from all over the place about how can we be so terrible. We're traveling down a terrible, terrible road. We're entering places we've never been before. Just recently, a group of medical doctors came out and said this changing sex in the Army is supposed to pay for that, by the way, the military, if you're in the military, if somebody decides they want to do that, says that it's going to produce problems far beyond what we ever thought, because the body is not made for that, including the cells and the genes and even the brain, if there's any there in their head, doesn't work the same way, and it's going to create problems that we never even fathom or thought through. This is a terrible, terrible time that we're living in. And when we read that scripture this morning, we find that Judah was in a terrible shape. Jehoshaphat was the king. They had the enemy coming up on them, and he proclaimed a fast and a praying time to pray for God's help. And he went back and claimed one of God's promises that God would take care of them if ever there was an enemy coming up on them. We have enemies. It looks like a shore of that swamp is just moving further inshore with all of the garbage and stuff. If ever there was a time, we need to be praying. And one of the very last verse that I saw is so heartrending to me. Verse 13, and said, all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. These little ones that are growing up today are growing up in a world that you and I did not have to experience. I don't know, quite honestly, in our schools and our society out there, how they make it when every blast of communication and so much of it is more available today with the social media, what it is, and everywhere. And no one blushes anymore at the things that they say and put on there. And there's nobody holding back. They're just letting all hell loose. And Satan wanted to do that from the very beginning. But the key to our message today is found there in verse 12, where he said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, meaning the enemy, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. How strong a statement is that? I think we're at that place. We're at an impasse at the Harrisburg Capitol. We're at an impasse at our United States Capitol. We don't know what to do. They're like little children who are saying we know not what to do. But notice what he said. His only answer was, he said this, but our eyes are upon thee. We need to get our eyes back upon God. We need to get our eyes upon Christ again. We need to turn to Him again. Our eyes, thee, with our little ones. Never have we been in such a time when we need to get our little ones with their eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In a few days, weeks, perhaps, many places, they'll be going back into the public schools. And already they're adjusting their curriculums. They're adjusting their buildings. They're adjusting their programs to meet the standards of those who believe in some other kind of sex other than a male or female. And they're being taught that from the very earliest age in preparation for what they're facing. And when Satan entered that garden, he had one aim in mind. That was to destroy God's greatest crowning glory, and that was the home. From every institution and every kind of thing that God would bless this world with was to go out from the home. And Satan has been attacking the home ever since. We're facing a coming storm, I believe, against which we have no weapon to protect us except God. We need to get our eyes upon Him. How did we get down such a road? We listened to the educators. We listened to the intelligent people, so thought. First of all, we gave the pill to our children so they could enjoy sex without marriage. And we thought, that's okay, let them get acquainted, let them live together, and then they won't have so much trouble when they get on down the road in their marriage. And we've created a hell on earth. We've created homes that have not lasted, cannot last, cannot stand, built upon the thoughts of man instead of upon the Word of God. We have no longer that. We're now letting the homosexual crowd dictate to us what kind of weddings we will have. A wedding was defined as a Christian union between a Christian man and a Christian woman, and we're letting the whatever name I'm about to use, some maybe I ought not to use, the freaks or whatever you want to call them, have decided and changed the whole idea of what a Christian marriage is. And we've allowed that to but now we want to make sure the retirements and the laws and the books are changed to meet that standard for them. No wonder in Colossians 2:21 it said, touch not, taste not, handle not. God says there are certain things you're going to see in life, you're going to view in life. There are certain things that's going to come at you, and don't have a part of it. Don't get close to it. You can't pet a skunk without stinking. If you sleep with a dog, you're going to have fleas. We need to recognize some of the simple truths that God has given us along the way and realize we got in this mess by our own choosing, the choices that we have made, and that the home is in wreckage. We applaud when a home lasts more than a few years these days because nobody thinks a home's going to last anyway. And we wonder why our children grow up misfits, because God gave the foundation for the very first learning, the very first place for children to learn was from their mother's knee and from their dad and their mom in the home, and learn how to pray and learn how to get along with one another, how to talk to one another, how to be a citizen of the United States of America. And now we'd have no more of that. Secondly, we let them experience with a little wine or beer, then drugs followed. We're now in the business of licensing drugs so that they can use them. We not only have licensed marijuana in many major states, we now have it as a medical tool in many of our places for people to use. And we are now building buildings and using buildings in many of our states where people who are on the very strongest drugs that they can probably give, the opium and some of the others, where they can go there under the protection of our police officers and use that drug to have themselves a little of it while they watch protection over them and hope somehow we'll wean them off of it. While these are some of the most terrible mind-altering drugs and causing killings and murders and rapes and violence like we've never seen before in all of our life. We now have a gang that's called the M13, I believe is the identification. I don't know what it stands for. But they are loaded with drugs, they're laced with drugs, and they're entering into our schools, and they are collecting the brightest minds of our students to come along and join them. And if they do not, they murder them, and they've already have several of that case happening. And we're saying, how did we get to such a mess? When we kick God out and give Him His walking papers and said, we don't want the Bible to set the standard for the home. We don't want the Bible, the Word of God, and some bombastic preachers. Well, that's what I am. Write it down. I'm a bombastic. I believe in open up and let it fly. Let people hear what you say. Amen? Instead of the choice words, the nice words that will soothe everybody and not upset anyone. But we've allowed them to say those kind of things to us, and we've followed that route, and we're in this great big mess, and we're wondering how these guys in these slick clothes could slip into our schools and be murdering and joining up with other of our schoolmates and getting them into gangs that are killing and destroying and trying to overthrow our government. We let them experience with a little bit. The Bible says in Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. And may I stop there a moment? When parents are saying to me things like this, oh, I let them experiment in my house where I can watch over them while they have some of the booze. And by the way, people will say another thing. Many of the religious crowd will say to me, well, Jesus turned water into wine. It was not alcohol fermented, and the Bible plainly says that right there on the page if you read it. The Bible doesn't tell you two things about the same thing. It was talking about the first juice of the vine before it fermented. That's what it was talking about. The Bible condemns alcohol in all forms, and it's been the first step to many of the drugs that we use, and it's the only licensed drug. And we talk about alcoholism being a disease. It's the only disease I know that is self-inflicted. Some idiot's got to turn the bottle up and take a drink of it before it affects him. But he says, drink not the strong drink. And when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. God had warned us many, many years ago, if you get that into your home and into your family, it'll destroy you until you're part. It destroys more homes. It does not pay. We talk about the tax we get off of it. It doesn't pay for one-third of the housing of the alcoholics in this state, let alone pay any other kind of bill. They used to say speed kills, but they found out the people that were driving cars and killed one another were drunk. And that's why they were speeding. Only a drunk would take a 25-mile-an-hour curb at 90-mile-an-hour because he was too drunk to understand what he was doing. And now we're making all kinds of new laws about that, and none of them are working in any case. We let them believe hard work was not important. One of the things that keeps children from being bored, the biggest complaint I hear from young people today is that I'm bored. What will keep people from being bored is getting on the handle of an axe or a hoe or a shovel and digging a ditch and doing some good honest work and learning how to do honest work to earn college tuition before they ever think about going to college, instead of mom and dad paying a bill for a high-class school. And by the way, our schools are becoming nothing but sports centers and just a bunch of craziness. And many rapes have been reported from many of our high-class schools till they don't know what to do about it. What was it, Penn State last spring where they were hazing? They threw the one kid over the side, drunk, killed him, having a big trial over that. Just all kinds of craziness. And I know maybe some of you don't read what I read or investigate, but we want to see all the good and talk about all the good that they're doing. And they're taking our money, they're taking our finances, and they're taking our youth. And another thing they're doing is setting them up with a liberal general. There isn't a state college anywhere in any state and union that doesn't have more liberal professors than it does conservative, that teaching them things against American government and to go against us, and that socialism and next step is communism, and we keep spending our money and sending our money to those kind of institutions. And we wonder why they come back idiots and why they start questioning the major values that we find. He said in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand find to do it with all thy might. We need to teach old-fashioned work again. And these kids that we put in these drug rehab centers, that's the first thing we ought to do. We ought to get them out on a work gang out here picking up rocks or paper or garbage along the road or mowing the weeds along the side of the road. We ought to start teaching them that it takes work to make you go, so you're going to work and work hard at it. But we've somehow made them think if you can just get a cell phone in your pocket and just get a computer to carry with you, and I guess it's way beyond that now, way beyond me. You've got a tablet and a computer and a cell phone. I don't know why in the world you would need all three. But some people have got them all. And then you've got a car that doesn't have to have a driver, so you can sit in there and run all that stuff while it drives itself. And we're driving ourselves straight to hell in a handbasket at 90 miles an hour, and somebody needs to holler, stop! Hold this thing up. We're going way too far. We need to get our eyes back on God. And we talk about not having time to go to church or time to go to prayer meeting, and we got time for all that crazy junk. We got time for everything but God. We've kicked God out. We've locked the door. And the only hope we have is to get our eyes back up on God and back up on Jesus and see Him again. We thought we could give them more and more and make them better and better. We just wanted to give them more and more. I drive through little old towns like ours around here. Invariably, they got a big yard sale. The garage is full. They don't have a place to park the car. Got all this garbage out there. They're selling a bunch of plastic toys that their kids have, they bought for their kids. All kind of motorized little vehicles or whatever they've got and clothes. And so the kids are going to have enough money to buy the classic stuff to go to school this fall. Got to have all that. Why would you want to buy a 13 or 14-year-old kid the most classic thing? They're going to grow out of them in 6 months. Of course, some of them are not wearing enough anymore anyway to know whether they had anything on in. It wouldn't matter, amen? But we need to get back to God. Be sensible about some things. You want some jeans to start a school in? Then get hard work, and there's yards to mow. There's something to do out there. There's a grocery store boy. There's some place you can find a job. Go somewhere, get a job somewhere, and walking is not busy. You can get there that way or ride a bicycle or some other way and teach them about hard work. We've really thrown away the ingenuity and the initiative of our young children by teaching them just laze around and go to some high-power college and get a great big degree and don't work for any less than $25 an hour and you'll make it through life. That's what we have taught them, when working for a dime or a quarter and saving some would be the best way to get there. We also thought we could choose their friends better than we could. When they come dragging something in the door that looks like something that come out of hell, you need to tell them they're not coming in our house. And they're not going to be your friend. You have the right to choose your children's friends. God expects you to be the gatekeeper. God expected you to be the parent. You did not let your children sit down and eat maggots out of the cereal bowl. Then you should not let them look like some maggot dragging guy coming in the house and saying, oh, duh, I'm your daughter's girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever I am. And you have to look at him three times to figure out whether he's a he, she, or it, or whatever he is. And he doesn't know what he's going to be or where he's been and is half spaced out on drugs to start with. And we wonder what happened. And you think I'm being ridiculous, but it used to be a time when I preached like this. I guess I was exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating. I see some of the pink purple hair and enough metal in their face to set off an alarm at the airport gate 50 miles away. And you wonder, that's normal? That is normal? And they got it in places in their body that I don't see how it keeps them painting them. In their eyelids, in their noses, and ears, and in other places that I won't mention, but you know what, if you see what I see. We're in a crazy world. We got to get our eyes back up on Jesus. And Jesus said we weren't, and the Bible said, people ask, well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says we wouldn't mark our bodies with tattoos. We wouldn't mark our bodies with those things. The Bible says, know ye not that your body's a temple of God. The Bible already told us that. We don't have to, oh, is there anything in the Bible about that? When's the last time you opened up a good old King James Bible and started reading it from cover to cover and reading and see what God had to say about it? Obey thy parents. Listen to God. Forsake not yourself the assembling in the house of God. Get to the house of God. We think if we go once and take communion once or twice a year that we've done God a great big favor and God ought to be happy with us. While the world is going to hell all around us and we're just riding on the rail with it and we don't stop it. We wear anything or nothing and ask everybody else to just get along and look the other way. We're in desperate times and we need desperate measures and we need God. And our little ones, again, my heart breaks when I think, what kind of world are we giving them? What kind of hope are we offering them? We're telling them having parties and going places and doing all kinds of the social things that the world does is more important than God's house and church. We led them to believe that's the way to go. These things are what's important. You know, you got to do this and you got to do that and don't work too hard. We got to get you home and get you to bed or and get you to sleep and get you up again to do something else. And the child doesn't have a bit of God's instruction in their life and gets a little dab here and a little dab there. It's not going to dilute the garbage that they get. I'll tell you, a couple hours in front of the major television programs would just set your child's mind a whiz when you're trying to figure out who's it and who isn't it and who's what it is. You don't have no wonder Bill Clinton says it all depends on what it means. That's true today, isn't it? It could be a him, it could be a her, it could be somewhere in between. We don't know. We have no idea. And, oh, you're supposed to be disrespectful to them. Well, when I see dirt, I call it dirt. When I see garbage, I call it garbage. We don't call it, what do you call it? Somebody picks up garbage. Oh, he's a garbologist or something like that. We've got all these fancy names for stuff. When I see garbage, I think it's garbage. And when it stinks, I think I should run the other way. But we've got to the place that we don't do that. We can just take anything. We can put up with anything. We can get along with anything. We don't have to fight. What does it take to make us mad anymore? What does it take to get us riled about something? We got idiots down in Washington. The bunch of stupid Republicans sitting down there haven't done a thing and drawing thousands of dollars and we're saying, oh, I guess they'll get it done. They need to be jerked by the pants, taken out and whipped with a barbed wire switch, I'm telling you right now. We're in the biggest mess we've ever been. You can't get nothing done and the country is dying and going to hell. And insurance premiums are shooting through the ceiling and people can't pay their copays. I'm not talking about welfare people. They got plenty. I'm talking about people that work at an honest job. They don't make enough money to pay their insurance. How are they going to make it through? This is what we're promoting. We're promoting this continual laziness. And we got it in the church. We got this, what I call welfare Christians. Oh, somebody else will pay for it. The church will pay for it. Who do you think the church is? It's people that work hard at a job every day. We don't charge one dime for anything that this church gives. Nothing. I had a guy that asked me the other day, when are you doing one more of your fundraisers? I said, we don't do fundraisers. We have a fundraiser every morning, every service we have. When we pass the offering plate, God's people give their tithes and their offerings, and we do it. And the rest of the crowd that rides along on their laurels and doesn't pay anything, drops in a dollar every now and then, expect God to bless it, and then wonders why their life is such a mess. Hello? your phone ringing, you better answer it, because I want to tell you something. Hell is going to be hot one of these days for people who thought they had something that didn't have nothing but a little bit of religion in a Baptist church and thought they had it made. It takes more than getting baptized in that pool. It takes more than saying, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know which one you believe on and in, and do you really have Him in your heart and soul? If you did, you'd be sick of this stuff as I am sick of this stuff. He called them a bunch of vipers in His day, these religious leaders that were trying to push this kind of stuff down His throat. He said, you're like a bunch of vipers. And they didn't want to hear it. We thought we could choose their friends better. They could choose their friends better than we could. Oh, that's your friend. And the next week they got another one. Then we let them decide their choice of TV shows and movies. I mean, can we get back to Green Acres or something like that? God help us. Every sitcom has to have a queer on it. Every one of them. I'm telling you the God's truth. And we stomach it and we turn it on anyway. Instead of saying, pull the thing out of the wall and throw it away. I'm not watching that garbage. But we just keep following it. And our kids listen to it. And when they've grown up with that stuff, they didn't grow up like you and I did when Mom and Dad said, you're not going to that movie. You're not leaving this house tonight. We had parents that did something like that to us, but they go wherever they want to. They talk to whoever they want to. They sit in the back of the bus and smoke and take drugs on the way to school. And we wonder why they're acting so strange. We're a growing a bunch of idiots that are fed drugs and cultured their minds with the garbage of this world while they watch the garbage. And that's their heroes, the Hollywood stars, or some guy that can hit a 516-foot home run while he's all diced up on drugs and saying, oh, isn't he great? And got his hat around backwards, his pants hanging down, and his shoes untied. And that's their heroes. And we wonder how we got to the place. We thought the psychologists knew better than we did about discipline. I want to tell you, God made that part back there a little bit more meat on it than He did any other part for the simple reason to put a switch, a paddle to. And it might be out of date at the school, and it might be out of date to the Supreme Court, but it's not out of date in heaven. It's still in heaven's book, the Bible. And that's the way we correct children. And God teaches a parent as you go along just enough and how much to give. Some you give more. And when you use it often enough and long enough, after a while you don't have to use it. All you have to do is just have it hanging there. But those that will not use it are damned to see their children rise up against them. Discipline is still in charge. By the way, there's no such thing in the Bible as time out. You're going to get time out. Okay, good. I get to go time out, and I'll put a dirty book in between my book, and I'll read the dirty book while Mom thinks I'm having time out. The kids are not stupid. They're just fed a bunch of stupid garbage, and we believe it. We're still, God holds us responsible. God's not going to hold the school responsible. God's not going to hold the church responsible. God's not going to hold anybody responsible for our kids raising but us. You may say, well, I raised mine right and they turned out like, well, they may. But God will take care of that end too. If you'll do what you're supposed to do, God will do. You see, the prodigal son thought he was pretty smart too. He didn't want dad's rules anymore. One day he said, God, I'm tired of this house. I'm tired of this place. I don't want to live here. I don't want to listen to you anymore, I want to do my thing. I want to ride my way. I want to go my way. And he wound up smack dab in the hog pen. And that's where our kids are winding up and sucking on the garbage from the hog pen. One day they may hopefully get enough of it and come back home and say, Mom, Dad. And by the way, we have more college graduates sleeping in their mom and dad's basements because they can't find a job that suits their education. Well, lolly-dolly, ring-ding-do. Give them a broom, give them a mop, give them a sickle, give them a... Hey, we need to get back to those hand lawnmowers. You know what I mean? And about 6 acres of yard to mow. That'll cure a lot of problems. That'll cure a whole lot of problems. We've just got it so bad. If it don't go ud and ud, they don't know what to do with it. I mean, we've got clippers now that... You can cut your... Instead of ones, you got to... We need those kind. Go out and trim the bushes, trim the hedges. We're really all that. And got it. Oh, it can't get started until the cell phone rings or there's some game or somebody they got to get a hold of on it. We need to take that thing and say, you don't have it now. It's time out for the phone, not time out for you. It's time in for you and time out for the phone. Amen? And we don't need six phones in one house for everybody, for crying out loud. We have become obsessed with that stuff. And then the children go to sleep with it within their ears, and some think playing sounds like it's coming from Mars. I mean, I pulled up by a car the other day at the stoplight in one of our major cities, and I had to hang on to the steering wheel. I thought he was going to blast me off the road with those speakers. Boom, 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 boom. I was hanging on. I thought, we're going to take off here in a minute. He's over there gyrating. And I mean, he was really full of himself. But we think that's the way to go. And oh, they're just expressing themselves. My dad said, if you don't wipe that look off your face, I'm going to wipe it off for you. We weren't even allowed to express it in disdain or even pain. If they whipped you real hard and you was paining, you think you're crying now, you ain't going to be crying until I get through with you the next time. I'll give you something to cry for. You better shut up. Not even allowed to cry out your pain. Wow. But we've got all this nicey-nicey. Oh, poor little thing. And the grandmas and grandpas help out, don't they? Oh, don't whip the poor thing. The poor thing, yes, they do. Beat him. The Bible says to this, listen to this, Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, God wasn't talking about beating his brains out. God was talking about patting him on the rear end until he said, uncle, or whatever he's supposed to say, enough, I don't want any more, or I'm not going to do that again. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. That's what God says. We haven't put God to the test yet. I went a long route in sin before I got to God. But Mama's prayers followed me and got me there. And Dad's beating me on the butt, and sometimes some other places, helped out a whole lot. It does work. I am an example of God's discipline and prayer over us working. He says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Oh, I can't stand there and cry. Then listen to him when the judge announces, you're going to prison. Your heart will thump plumb out of your chest then. I have a friend, so I don't know if he's there by his own volition or they say it's not. He called me this weekend, will you please go visit my son in Camp Hill? Please go visit my son in Camp Hill. One day, it may be your son, your daughter, please go visit in Camp Hill. Do what God says. Do what's right. And I'm telling you, we're in a storm. The coming storm is coming at us fast. And we better get our eyes back up on God and back up on Jesus. As the king of all of the nation of Judah cried, God, we don't know what to do. We have no idea. The enemy is bigger than we. These drugs are bigger than us. They're dying by the thousands every day in Ohio. I don't know what the rate is in Pennsylvania. I saw that on one of our news reports. From the drugs they're taking. There's thousands dying. Just liberating. We got people living in the streets. People living in the streets. I never heard of such a thing when I was a kid growing up. Everybody had a home. Everybody had a house. Everybody knew how to get into it. We're in the craziest times we've ever ventured in. When a man who looks like a man suddenly decides and tells his wife and child, I'm going to become a woman. And the army pays for it. And he becomes a woman. And looks like something out of hell. In the book of Revelation, it talks about during the tribulation, there'll be people coming out having hair like women, it says. And there'll be these attack people that will be attacking. The Bible talks about when the economic situation during the tribulation becomes so great that those people that don't work and whatever's going on, they'll start forging out here in these rural areas and running after people. It's going to be a terrible time. You better hope that you're saved and you're out of here and you don't have to face the tribulation. And think about your little darlings if they're not, because it is coming. Hell is moving. He says those whatever they are, faces like animals, hair like a woman. I saw one like that the other day. I did, honest. Just exactly. His face looked like an animal. Looked like a bull that had rings in its nose. You know how you control a bull? Had that face looked like leather baked in an oven. And that hair looked like a woman's. God's word fulfilled right there. We're living on the preface, on the very beginning of the rapture and the tribulation's coming, and those that are not saved are not going to make it. The Bible says if you heard the gospel in this time and you didn't get saved, you will not get saved, because the devil will send such a strong delusion of a lie that you'll believe a lie rather than the truth. And people are already in that place. Oh, I've heard that stuff before, Pastor. I've heard that stuff ever since I knew how to. I've heard that stuff. I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe if there is a God, He would allow that to happen. God said His will. We don't know the grace of God until we realize the raft of God. And the raft of God is roaring. I can hear the drumbeats of heaven roll as God begins. God help us. Get our eyes back on Him. One of the ways we can get our eyes back on Him is getting our eyes on His book and looking at the Word and what it says. And remember the sayings and the warnings that He's giving us. When you drive down the highway, especially if you get on the off back road, you see the warnings. Curve ahead, 25 miles an hour, whatever. One lane bridge ahead. We have got warning signs after warning signs. He said in the last day there'll be volcanic activity. There'll be earthquakes in many different places. I don't know if you've been listening to the news just this past week. They had it. They had some people killed in several places. And it talks about the violence of people. Storms where there was some kind of a thing going on in one of the South American countries where they had a big party and all of a sudden the whole stage is on fire and the people all burn up. Listen, God is not playing games. God's not playing games. God's serious about all this. And God has warned us and warned us in days to come. Do you have your eyes upon God? In all of your life, your home life, your work life, your everyday life, in view of the political arena, do you have your eyes upon God? He said, we don't know what to do, but we have our eyes upon You. Here He stood with His kingdom, this King, and all the men and women with their children. He said, our little ones with us, and we don't know what to do, but we're going to keep our eyes upon You. That's the only hope we have is God. Washington's not going to solve our problems. Harrisburg's not going to solve our problems. Nobody else is going to solve our problems. And nobody else wants to take over your kids when they become drug addicts. Nobody wants them. Nobody's going to help them. They're going to send them from jail to jail until they become worse and worse. And these mind-altering drugs now, there doesn't seem to be much rehabilitation takes place in most cases. You don't find where they really get rehabilitated. They might drug them up on some other drug till they sit in a zombie state and live the rest of their life out in some home, someplace where they do nothing but drain on society. And some of these people have had college degrees and educations and PhDs. We're wild. We're wild. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we pray this morning. Lord, many would say this is a very negative sermon. Lord, the positive part is we can get our eyes on Jesus. We can get out of this mess for our personal life, for our neighbors, and for our children. We can start doing what we know is right, what God says is right. We can live for Jesus every day. We can make ourselves a visitor regularly at the house of God, where people love God and people pray and people try to do what's right in the midst of all the garbage that goes on about us, while our government sinks deeper and deeper into sin and cesspool. And the work of Satan works its ways in so many strange ways among our homes and our families and our children. And even some of our churches where homosexual pastors stand and proclaim that they're pastors called of God. God must be awful sick of such a mess. And the adulterous society that spins around us every day. And we model the world crowd before we model God's crowd. We want to model and live like, see how much we can live like the devil. How we can act like the devil and be caught up with the devil's work than we do with God's work. We know more about all those kind of Hollywood stars and sports stars than we do about our missionaries and what goes on with them. Every Wednesday night we have a testimony from one of our missionaries on the back. Many do not even come or know what it says. God, help us to get back to Thee. Help us to get our eyes upon God. See Him again. Isaiah said, I saw Him when I was in the house of the Lord. I saw Him standing mighty. I saw Him standing there with His angelic choir. I saw Him. I saw Him take the tongs and take the coals off the fire off the altar and place them upon my tongue, and my lips were sealed to say the Word of God and speak the Word of God. Oh God, help us. Lord, I pray that this altar might be a place of refuge for some who need to get their eyes back up on God or get their eyes up on God initially or whatever our problems are. And every one of us in this room have someone, somewhere, some grandchild, child, friend, family member somewhere that we know that is headed straight to a devil's hell, drug laden or whatever, that we might come and spend at least a moment in prayer and saying, God, by Thy grace, help me to help that person. And we'll praise You. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as the piano plays for just a moment before we sing, I'd extend the altar invitation to you. If you want to humbly come and pray and slip back to your seat quietly, that's okay. You want to come and spend some time to pray for somebody in your home. Maybe yourself, maybe your children, maybe your friend, whoever that might be. Say, God, I'm here. I don't know what I can do. I wonder if you would say while these are coming, Pastor, I'm not prompted to move to that altar, but I do know someone like you're speaking about. And I just act, raise my hand in prayer for that someone. I have someone. God bless you. 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 Verse 46 is very appropriate. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. there's also a crowd out there that I didn't mention to you of parents who are doing drugs while they're impregnating and getting ready for a child. And we now have children being born that are addicted to those drugs. What a terrible sight. If I could uncap hell, just pull it up, and you could hear the cries of the people that are saying, oh God, give me one more chance. Oh God, I'd just like to come back to earth one more time. You know, the rich man said, I've got five brethren. I pray that they don't have to come into this awful place. We need to keep people out of hell, do all we can while we can. Time is short. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Thanks for being here this morning, for your attention and attendance. Don't forget, tonight we'll be preaching on the second coming of Christ. Looking forward to that. God bless you as we go. Brother Bill, would you have our closing prayer, please?